Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. Jury selection is underway in the federal case against Dylann Roof, who is standing trial for the murder of 9 parishioners at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina last year. Roof is a self-proclaimed white supremacist, and he allegedly opened fire on the Bible study group there after sitting with them at their weekly meeting. Roof is charged with 33 federal counts, including murder, civil rights violations, and hate crimes. If he's convicted, he faces the possibility of execution here. The jury selection process was delayed earlier this month after attorneys for Roof suggested that he might not be mentally fit to stand trial. But on Friday, a judge ruled that he was competent to stand trial. Jennifer Barry Hawes is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Post and Courier in Charleston, and she's currently working on a book about the Emmanuel AME church massacre.
Well, it was a pretty somber start to the court. There had been a number of delays, and I think that a lot of people were unsure if it would actually go forward at this point. There were, behind the prosecutor's table, about 3 rows of the victim's family members, 2 of the shooting survivors, the church's pastor, and a number of other people who had gathered to pay very close attention to what was going on. Dylann Roof came in a jail jumpsuit, which is unusual because normally during jury selection, the defendant would wear street clothes. So I think that put everybody a little bit on edge as to what was going to move forward.
So now that Dylann Roof's competency to stand trial has been decided by the judge, he now says that he wants to defend himself.
That's right. That's right. Jury selection was briefly postponed just for a few minutes because the judge received a request late Sunday from the defense team that Roof wanted to represent himself. So they went through a series of standard questions to determine if he was capable of doing that and going through his constitutional rights to do so. It was a big surprise for a lot of people who thought once the competency issue was resolved that now the trial would move forward in sort of standard fashion. It was a surprise, but also raised some real concerns for them as far as whether justice would be served in this case, because ultimately that's what they want. Nobody wants to go through this trial, but they do want to see Dylann Roof brought to justice and their loved ones' deaths in a way where they can at least try to move forward. I think that having this trial and then the state trial as well hanging over their heads is really creating a stressful situation for a lot of them. And now to have him representing himself, it throws an element of chaos in there when all they want is a fair trial.
Now, you've been spending a lot of time with these family members over this last year and a half, and I wonder if you can give a sense of the process that some of them have been going through. Obviously, the grieving and the pain, but getting to this point where they might feel like they're on the cusp of some form of justice. I don't know if you call it potential closure or what they're going through.
It's been a real up and down for a lot of them because obviously there's just the tremendous amount of grief, particularly for the survivors. There's just all of the trauma involved and what they have to deal with as far as the images that recur in their minds and the loss of all of those people. But it's compounded by the fact that a lot of them had a sense that the church's leadership did not reach out and support them the way they felt ministerial staff should have done. Felicia Sanders and Polly Shepherd, the 2 women who were in the fellowship hall at the time who survived the shooting, both have spoken to me about how the church's pastor at the time, not the current pastor, did not come by their homes, did not reach out to them. In Felicia's case, stood her up for some meetings that she had hoped to have with the interim pastor. It all forced them into a situation of feeling that they not only had lost their loved ones, but they also had lost their church in some ways. It's made them victims twice in a way, certainly not the same way, but nonetheless in another way. And the new pastor has really made some efforts to reach out to the family members and the survivors and try to heal some of those wounds.
What have the family members said to you about their feelings about the death penalty, its appropriateness in this case, and whether they want it to apply to Dylann Roof?
The family members are, I would say, a majority of them, of the ones that I've spoken to about this, do not favor the death penalty on religious grounds. There are several who adamantly oppose it and don't want to go through this trial at all. There are a few who have described for me their personal religious views of the death penalty, but their sentiment that the criminal justice system needs to handle criminal justice. And so if the ultimate penalty for a crime this horrific is the death penalty, then they will support that. And then there's another group, a smaller group, that is very strongly in favor of the death penalty. They have made that very clear and believe that this crime of any deserves it. So they are not a monolith. There's sometimes a portrayal of them as if they are all of like mind. And these are very different people who live in different parts of the country. Many of them have connections to Emmanuel, but some do not. They're very different in their thinking. I would say there's a general or majority view that the death penalty is not something the Bible supports. But as I said, that is certainly not the only view.
So two trials back to back. What is the estimated timeline here before verdicts are finally rendered?
And that's the magic question at this point. It looks like the federal trials jury selection process likely will go bump up against the winter holiday. They'll break, come back. And at that point, we're looking at, by the attorney's estimates, perhaps 2 months of testimony. And then, of course, jury deliberations. There's, of course, two separate parts of this. You'll have the guilt phase, then a short break, and then the penalty phase when the jury will decide Dylan Roof's ultimate fate. And then the state death penalty trial is scheduled at this point to begin in mid-January. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen because testimony will be continuing in the federal trial. There's some question remaining. If Dylan Roof gets the death penalty in federal court, will the state prosecutor continue to pursue the death penalty in state court or not? That's all something that will have to be addressed as we get a little further along. But if we do a state death penalty trial, then we'll be looking again at another couple of months of trial potentially. And I know for some of the family members I've spoken to, that just is a very, very difficult thing to stomach. But it's been a really, really up and down battle for them, and promises to continue to be so for at least the next couple of months, perhaps longer.
The federal trial of Dylan Roof in the shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, is underway as families stand by and look for some justice in that case. Jennifer Barry Hawes, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jennifer Barry Hawes is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Post and Courier in Charleston.